was already mentioned of the beauty of the weather and the time of year that's upon us. I was thinking myself, working in the yard, working in the fields, just observing new life. The gardens start growing and you start seeing the life of what you planted. It's always a form of hope in it. There's that future harvest. Working in the fields, picking stones, whatever the case, you pick up a stone and you see that little sprout of a seed that's starting to grow. Look across the country and you see the wheat fields greening up. Not just 6 inches, now 12 to 16 inches, heading towards harvest. There's hope. There's a crop that we're hoping to harvest. The tiny alfalfa plants springing skyward. And also the new life, as you think of young of the early nesting blue jays. I understand blue jays start already nesting early March. Had some young blue jays at the feeder. Just recently I had to slow down and let a goose and a gander lead its little goslings across the road. New life. And for the parent with a new child, there's always that new life and that hope, the future. Excitement of so many things. And that's the way, you know, life is in all as we look at it and we pursue it and if we seek it. But we also know that in the last 58 days, as far as the memoir of church history, there was a lot of new life as we think of the early church. We'll go back to Palm Sunday, when Jesus entered Jerusalem with a great victory, much cheering and a cry of the crowd that hosannaed him in as the Most High and Holy Being, expecting him to be the deliverer of Israel in their own thinking and way. But as the week went on, that Passion Week, Jesus went through tremendous turmoil as he was accused of being a blasphemer of God rather than a deliverer. As he fought his feelings as God-man, as he struggled to meet the very cause of what he came to do, what God had sent him to do, deliver us that we could have life, that new life through him. And yet Jesus had to make those decisions that week. Would he or wouldn't he? Was he willing to let go of the pain and the ache of the whole world on his shoulder? Was he willing to take upon him that pain and agony that would bring new life to us, like Lucas was talking about in the last 2 weeks? That life that we can have through Jesus. Jesus came to the place where he said, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever the pain, there will be gain. He was doing it for us. The love of God through his Son here on earth. And then we have Good Friday, as he met the crowd and the crucifixion, that cruel death. And the lights of the world as such were turned out. For 3 days, the darkness and the black and the emptiness. But then Sunday morning rolls around and we have what we know as Resurrection Sunday. Easter. Most of us celebrated in some way or another, but most of all, I trust as Christians, we pursued it as a holiday of the hope that we have, the new life that we have through Christ. because Jesus was willing to take upon himself the sin of the world. And as he rose and was raised again, him, meaning Jesus, God raised up the third day, who showed him openly. Matthew 28:7. There, go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. Or as the songwriter puts it, Jesus is alive and well. Tell everyone you see, oh, tell them for me. Jesus is alive and well. Paul testifies of Christ's resurrection and the many that saw him in 1 Corinthians 15, also stating the hope for those that believe, not just in this life, but for the one to come. We know that those that are dead in Christ shall rise like Christ did on the last day, on the trumpet day of the Lord, when the trumpet sounds. When time will be no more, they too shall rise and meet Heavenly Father. So the hope of the story of salvation. And then 10 days ago, or 40 days since Easter, Bible readers, Christian, know it as Ascension Day. Some of us probably have more of a memories from Ascension Day. Some of us grew up with a service each Ascension Day morning. I'm reminded of that as I drive the road and I see the horse and buggies at church on Ascension Day. And with that comes memories, and I thought of it this morning as I drove into the church parking lot and I saw that shiny, nice black truck drive in with the new wheels on. Brought back memories. Tom, I did the same thing on Ascension Day. It was day to put the mags back on the Firebird. It was the day you brought out the wax and you met with all your buddies and you waxed the car and you put the shiny new wheels on and you just got her tip-top shape. And then you plan a trip to Niagara with the girls along. Some people would say for the good old days. That's all good and right in its own sense. But it reminded me of life, too, as I had it as such back then. But anyway, the hope that we have through the story of Jesus and his ascension. What really comes to my mind is that was really Jesus' last message was Ascension Day morning, or Ascension Day, when he shared his last message, and there he told his disciples what they are to be doing now that he's leaving and what we're to be doing. This is what's been passed on to us, and I'm not planning to go there, but we all know That is the great commission of us to go out and to share Jesus and be those little Christs in this world today and be that testimony for who he is and for what he came for and what he will do for us. And on that day, he also promised Pentecost, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to go a step back, and that is the very thought of Jesus standing there with his disciples in that moment before he left for heaven, and telling him he is now leaving and he won't be back in this way until the end of time. Then he will be back. But just stop and in your mind, maybe think of an occasion when you would have had a time where you knew there was a friend leaving, or maybe going a distance and moving away. I have a memory of that as a child when it was actually, I don't know if Floyd and Ashley are here this morning, but Ashley's grandparents were moving from this part of Ontario to Fort Frances, Rainy River. And I spent a lot of time with those cousins of mine, even Dennis, Ashley's dad, and his older brother, Timothy. We spent a lot of time together. My dad and Ashley's grandpa did the harvest together. And so we spent a lot of time together. Summers I'd be with them all the time when we were baling hay, and many different stories I could share this morning of the good time. But I still just remember the deep pain that I felt the day that they stepped in their car and we helped load the last things as they moved to Fort Frances. That distance. And I've had to think of the feeling of how the disciples must have felt here when Jesus was leaving. And he was leaving them in that physical sense forever. But the promise is what I want to leave you with in this story, that is even better than Jesus physically being here. And there's that promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we know as Pentecost Sunday, which is, do any of you know when that is? When's Pentecost Sunday today on our calendar? When is it? Anybody? Don't have to be shy. Today. Right on. 50 days since Easter. Today is what we know as Pentecost Sunday. But anyway, that promise came many years ago that God would send God the Spirit. Now, the thing that we want to take note of and take very personal and serious is the very fact that that Spirit is omnipresent. That Spirit, as we have different circumstances in life, is there with us regardless. You know, I see Matt Huber back there. Ken Brubaker and his family, I'm not sure if they're here. Myself, others in this crowd may have had needs the very same time, the very same hour, the very same second. And Jesus was with you. Jesus in spirit was with you. You could call upon him right then and there. Jesus as man was only present where he was. Or God, Jesus as man, was only present with those around him, within reach. Today we have the presence of the Spirit within us at all times. We can call upon him whenever we want. And that is such an awesome thing that we can take into our lives and recognize the hope that we have. You know, it can be the smallest of things, fears that develop in our lives. If you're ever up here, I've maybe shared this before, but I have a phobia problem. If you're ever up here and you hear a door banging like crazy in the basement and I can't get the washroom door down there, you'll know it's me. That's a jail cell. You know what? My mind could drive me crazy in a place like that if I allowed it to. Not that long ago, we were gone Niagara, and we were up in an elevator, very high up. I don't even remember what floor. But it was a very busy day, and we were heading out, and we got out on the elevator, and while everybody needed to use this elevator to go down, it was just jam full, and it stopped at every floor. I was just starting to tighten up, and my wife grabbed a hold of me, and I said to the person, did you press this button? You know, I had to reach up through, and you know what? I'm so thankful for the Spirit of God. I would go insane, depending where I was, if I wouldn't have the Spirit of God with me. You know, when I just let go and relax in him, and there's times I have to, just simply... another story, just to kind of clarify how deep the problem. It was a Airbnb in a basement. I don't think it was legal, the windows. It couldn't have been. I couldn't have crawled out. Those ceilings were way up high. And all of a sudden, my mind got going. I was laying in bed there. What if there was a fire? There was only one way out. I couldn't even get out those windows. I jumped right out of bed, and I thought I wasn't breathing for a bit, and I sat on a chair and I said, Lord, I had to allow the Spirit to just take control. I can read a book and I could faint and fall out of a chair if I didn't stop and just allow Jesus to take, or the Spirit of God, take control of my life. I'm so grateful for the hope I have. I don't have to fear anything of the future because the Spirit of God is with me. Just draw on them. And that's what I want to bring out very clearly this morning, is the hope that we have in the, of the presence of the Spirit, and how in it our life is of hope. You know, maybe it's something you're struggling with this morning in your life, of getting victory, of just having that deliverance. I want to encourage you, just never, never give up. You know what? If you want to, you hockey players, you know what I'm going to talk about. If you want to win the Stanley Cup, you got to play hard till the end. There's no quitting. Just because you're a high-paid player, you've got to dig in the corners. You might get hurt, but you will too in the Christian life. But you got to dig. The promise is there. If you want to get through life as a Christian victorious, you need to put an effort and a willingness to fight the battle. If you're going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, you may get hurt at times, but you've got to dig and you need to be willing. Because the promises are here in the Scripture that He'll abide with you and be with you forever until the end. Purification by hope. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The Christian is a man or woman whose main possessions lie in reversion. Most men have hope, but the Christian is a peculiar one, and its effect is special, for it causes him to purify himself. We had some awesome experiences here in church in the last month. We've had baptism service. We've had some conversion experiences. We have rededicated lives. People that want to serve God. And this is all a step in the purification and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. But I want to encourage and challenge us all to continue and to persevere till the end. The race isn't won until we're done. You know, this time of year is track and field time. I remember that from public school, where we'd be training for track and field for the day where we'd run races and all this things, good stuff at school. And then when we hit the higher grades, if you were good enough, you'd end up down at Centennial Stadium running and shot putting and all the good stuff against various schools in the area. It was always a lot of fun, but it took a lot of work. It took a lot of effort. I remember, that time of year, even as a child, you'd try and eat better. You'd jog more. You'd do all kinds of exercises to try and get fit. You know, the same attitude and heart should be in our mind when we're going through life, is to be more like Him. Jesus cried out and He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Moses took off his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. Are you standing on holy ground this morning? Is that your desire, to be close to Jesus in a way that you want to take off your shoes and be so close that you feel His presence, that you can feel Him come in? You know, there's going to be those hard times and those times when you may not feel His presence so much. Maybe you get busy. I was thinking of this week. Ray, way back, already asked me, you know, he kind of fits it in when I can preach. And in my mind, I was thinking through, oh, yeah, well, we should be done the cropping. This week would be a great week to study. And so next week we do haylage. And yeah, well, guess what? The silo was empty beginning of the week. We had to do haylage this week. So yesterday afternoon, yes, I was looking at notes throughout and thinking in my mind. I thought I had a presentation. And then I thought, you know what? What I was going through, that's just all that Jonathan preached about in the last 2 months or whatever we've been listening out of Acts. I was thinking of a Pentecost message. And all of a sudden, I just didn't have a clue where I was going anymore yesterday afternoon. I just finally cried out, I lift holy hands when I'm alone, and I just pled with the Father that the Spirit would show me and direct me. And he said, and the Spirit just whispered, take it further. Purify through hope. You need the presence and the power of the Spirit. You need to understand that it's the Spirit of God that really reveals and helps you get through this. As you draw and desire a relationship with him. Everyone that had this hope in him has a hope of being like Jesus, perfect, glorious, a conqueror over sin, and a victory over death and hell. I want to reassure that this is not sinless perfection. This is desiring through the power of the Holy Spirit to live in victory with him. And there's going to be times when you're going to recognize again your man. And to reach that perfection is only through Jesus Christ and the power of his blood as he flows and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. It's not us, but the desire has to be there to want it. We need to fight the good fight, and we need to be willing to pursue it as God has given that availability. I've said this often. Let's remember that God does not lie. And when he created man, he said he is making his creation a creature of choice. Yes, he calls us. And some of you responded in the last 2 months to the call of the gospel. And you said, yes, Lord, yes. But that was your choice. That was your decision to allow Jesus to come into your life, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, accept him as Lord and Master of your life, and feel the presence of his Spirit within you. And now you're walking forward, purifying and cleansing that hope that you see through Jesus Christ. It is based upon divine love. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. It arises out of sonship. He called the sons of God. It rests upon our union to Jesus. 1 John 12b, when he shall appear, it is distinctly hope in him. We shall be like him. It is the hope of his second advent that we have in Jesus Christ as he comes back. And it's really then that we will and can honestly say we are perfect in Christ, because his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The operation of that hope. It does not puff up like the conceit of the Pharisees. The righteousness within us is not us walking around and saying all the good that we're doing. That hope that we have of being purified in Christ is that of a humble spirit and mind, recognizing that it is not our own power, but it is the power of Jesus Christ. Living in hope and desiring this hope and purification, being more like Jesus, keeps us away and avoids us from loose living. We don't have a desire in our heart to follow those things that destroy, that kill, that maybe even appear as wrong. Scripture tells us that we're even to abstain from the appearance of evil, something that what may have the idea or the drawing card towards something wrong or sinful. It shows us what course is grateful. It harmonizes with grace. It reflects according to the new nature and is preparatory to the perfect future. So as we continue to desire to be holy, to be more like him, as we from time to time are walking on holy ground and are asking Jesus to manifest through his Spirit in our hearts and lives to guide and direct us and to open our minds to the Holy Word and what it is he has for us in it, as we let go of our own maybe even bondages and things that hinder us from truly being free in Christ. The believer purifies himself from his grosser sins, from evil company, secret sins. You know, we always want to remember as we go through life, there is no secrets with God. He knows everything. He sees everything. So when we see it in that perspective, and yet in many ways we shouldn't have to if we really desire a relationship with Jesus, there is no hiding. So throw it out and allow yourself to be free. Now when I say throw it out, I'm a strong believer in discretion, discernment, even on confession. On things, I think we want to be careful. I think we talked about this in our last small group. Brock, I really appreciated what you shared. And just the whole emphasis of being delivered, but recognizing the discretion used to be able to accompany the situation at hand. So neglecting is not a part of one that wants to be purified in hope. His effort is to work on it, to admit it and willingly face it. Another secret that we want to remind ourselves is imagination. That's another sin that I think is so easily done and maybe even sinned against others. The unknown of imagining about others' lives, or maybe just thinking things and really not knowing. Something we all want to be delivered from, or any desires that are wrong. Then we have the whole sin of murmuring. Again, in a land of freedom, in a land of plenty. In a land of what we have, it's so easy to fall into a rut of murmuring and complaining, even protesting towards authority. I know we, you know, in many ways, there's areas we don't agree with our government and in different areas and choices that they've made, but nowhere in the Bible have we ever been given a right to murmur in such a way or protest in a wrongful way. God gives us the ability and the right to appeal, to ask, to confront, and bring a challenge that way, but never in a protesting matter, in an authoritative matter. And that's the same with the church leadership. I believe that everyone has the privilege and the opportunity to appeal, to ask, but to destroy through railings or murmurings is wrong. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. And if we are sensitive to the Spirit, I believe there's a way that we can communicate in a very loving manner that honors him and also will honor our own lives. And those besetting sins of the heart, temper, body, relationships with others. I got to continually mind the Spirit. The road rage is a weakness of mine. And I'm going to be honest, my biggest road rage is probably after farmers than it is after drivers. Sometimes it's so frustrating driving down 86 behind a Fendt tractor that thinks he owns the road. And actually, as a Christian, I don't think it's a good testimony. At least pull over and let the big line go past for a while. I mean, it's... Anyway, saying that, I have to work at it. And unfortunately, it's not always just farmers. I just had one. I was actually the farmer. And I had my blinkers on for a long way because I saw someone coming on 86. And I was in the turnoff lane, and there's a car coming, and somebody still drove past me. Well, I have to be honest, I forgot to allow the Spirit to control me, and I just go. Was it one of you guys? Anyways, the Spirit of God desires to be with you, to help you, to help you overcome those things. And it should always be a goal in our life to be controlled in a way that is God-honoring and a good testimony. Relationships in the family, forgiving, work, church. Sins arising from nationality or cultural backgrounds. These are all things that take the Spirit. We need to mind the Spirit, allow God to work. And sometimes it takes a lot of patience, a lot of patience. In many ways, in our own family, we have different cultures married into our family. And I know we've had to learn to just accept and learn with it. Our culture isn't the only way, and to adapt to those cultures in a Christ-like manner and appreciate and be blessed by them and learn through them. And I think when we mind the Spirit and allow with patience the Spirit to speak through us, it's amazing how we can grow and have a common consensus on the difference and love and grow together in that manner. And I think that does well for the church. There's so many different backgrounds right here, different cultures, and just the blessing of being able to work and relate together in that manner. It takes the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives to continue in it, because I think of strong opinion. If you would have known me back when I was, Daryl and Kathy do, they can tell you all about it, about me. But anyway, experience and life have helped me recognize to just sometimes an opinion is best kept to yourself. And it's amazing how many of my opinions have been watered down so much to the point that they're very, very small, and they don't really even matter that much to me anymore. And at one time, they were almost convictions. So allow the Spirit to control your opinions. Sometimes it's better to leave things out than to say them. To him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it is sin. Another challenge from the other side is to be doing those things that God has asked of us and yet not doing, he calls sin. So we need to be sensitive to the Spirit in that manner as well, as we reach out, as we connect with lives, or when the Spirit speaks to us to relate or to connect with someone, to really have the peace of God through the Spirit to know when to go and not to go. There's been times in my life where I have failed. I know I have, when I should have went. One experience was, and I shared this story at Arise one time, that I felt I should go almost instantly, go talk to someone about Jesus Christ.
But I let it go. And that man passed away before I talked to him again. The next time was a situation where I felt I should go and I didn't go. And finally, when I did go, the person had left the country. So when the Spirit is speaking to you and you sense the peace of His presence, go. Because I believe it was sin for me not to have went. So how do we purify ourselves? We do this by getting a clear notion of what purity really is. Keeping a tender conscience. Keeping our conscience that we feel, that we actually, when we try something new or we're thinking of trying something new, that we actually, in our minds and our hearts, are brought to the place that we question. That we question, should we or shouldn't we? A tenderness there that we feel it. We know there's something there that we should, you know, have discernment with it and allow the Spirit to help us to come to that place of a wise decision. Be willing to admit our faults, acknowledge them, and repenting on them to whatever measure is needed. And from there, adequately find relief. We think of David and his confession. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. True conversion is really recognizing our unworthiness before God and man. A true surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We continue by keeping our eye to God and His continual presence. A live relationship in prayer and reading His Word. Allowing it to penetrate one word, one verse at a time. Allowing it to meet the need of your soul. You know, I think there's a lot of good things out there in life, a lot of good programs that can be helpful. But I think on a personal level, as far as really knowing and experiencing Jesus, you need to, at your own level, and what God has given you through the power of the Spirit, is allow Him to grow yourself. And that you do in personal meditation and prayer with God, as the Spirit speaks to you. It doesn't matter the quantity, it's the quality. It's what sets in and takes hold. It's what really puts meat into your life rather than just the milk. It's what grows you. And allow that to take effect in your life. Secondly, by hearing rebukes for ourselves and laying them to heart. Alvin prayed that if there's rebuke, that we hear it. It can be preaching. It can be a friend. It can be a song. It can be through discussion, iron sharpening iron as we sit together over a coffee. As we relate together over a meal in hospitality, or as we get together for a campfire and we listen to each other and we're sharpened and we take it to heart and take it personally and say, you know, God spoke to me in this way. I need to put some effort into it. Self-examination, asking the Lord to search us and to show us things maybe or possibly that in our life are keeping us from that sanctification experience with Jesus Christ and purifying ourselves. in hope. We need to distinctly and vigorously fight with every known sin. It's an act of the will. We need to choose. If you know you have a struggle with something, you need to choose to do something. Whether it's lying, cheating, immorality, whatever the case may be, it's up to you personally to take the bull by the horns as such and fight that battle and get victory. But don't forget, there's hope, and never let go of that hope. Don't ever give up, even if you stumble and fall, if you fail. There's always that second down, as it is in Canadian football. We get four, you Americans only get three. Get up. There's still a chance to gain yards. You can get that touchdown. Don't ever give up. Recognize the Spirit is with you. The promises are with us. Satan is there lying and telling us all kinds of garbage, that there is no hope for the believer, but there is. Again, be holy, for I am holy. Hence, we believers are ever more aspiring or looking for more and more holiness. There's a reward at the end. And you know, I believe, as we think of it, there is a reward at the end. But look at it deeper as you think of your testimony and your relationship here on earth. I believe a holy life and a desire to live close to God and allowing the Spirit to reveal through us speaks more volume to the world than what it does in even where you're called to be. The first call for us to be that testimony and light, whether we're in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or wherever, is that you've called your life out to holiness. I've just thought of it recently. You know, there's a lot of different, and God, Jesus told us where to go, and I think everybody's called into different places. But I challenge us here at home, the biggest call and the biggest testimony is right here at church, at work, in our community, of who you are. Who are you really in character? What does the neighbor say about you or someone you've done business with? It will speak volumes of where your relationship is with Jesus Christ. Is your simple yes, yes, and your no, no? Can you still make deals with a handshake? Can you be trusted? How's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you taken your shoes off? Are you willing to stand on holy ground and take it all in? God bless you as you purify in hope.